Somebody called me yesterday and asked why it is that in these parshiyos we see how thoroughly and completely Mitzrayim was smashed. Like every terrible thing that could possibly have happened, happened to them. The makas in Mitzrayim, the mapole by the yam. It's just like a ruthless smashing of a people. And he asked, why was that necessary? I mean, if all we wanted was that the Yidden should now leave Mitzrayim, couldn't it have been done in a softer way, not with so much fury, Keilu? That's what he asked. It was a reasonable question. When we don't know so well the Yesoidas that were involved over here. But what we have to understand, I explained to him, I tried to explain, is that the confrontation of Klal Yisrael with Mitzrayim wasn't just because Mitzrayim happened to be the place where Yosef was sold to, and it so happened that they enslaved the Jews, and it so happened that now they needed to go out. This is not like just sort of one of the quirks of history. The confrontation between Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim was cosmic in its implications. Mitzrayim is purported I'll read you just a sentence from Rav Futner Zecher Tzadik Livracha in the Pachat Yitzchok on Pesach. That's a Maimer Chof Aleph, very, very important Maimer. So I'll just read this sentence to you. ומתוך כך רבך עשי השמועו בדבריהם של חכמי האמס, כי כשם שישראל הם רשס בצד הקדושה, כמו כן מצרים רשס בצד התומה. That's what he says, and he's got a whole mimer on this Indian. Now, I just want to be masbir what I think, why that is so. I don't know anymore what Rav Futner says in his mimer. I haven't learned it recently. But I'll tell you what my impressions are. And certainly you would do well to look in Rav, in the Pachat Yitzchok on Pesach and see Maimer Chof Aleph. I think that the reishis of Mitzrayim, that means that this concept that Mitzrayim at that time was the opposite of Klal Yisrael, it was a confrontation between nation, which was the Bnei Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, who dealt with the Rebbeinu Shlolem, who later on were going to be called the Chelek Hashem, Ki Chelek Hashem Amo, Yaakov, Chevel, Nachalosa, and Mitzrayim, whose place in history is Ki'ilu, to be an anti-God. That was their whole Metzias. You know, I don't know whether we talked about it in the recent Shiurim, the Indian of the Keshafim, the Indian of the sorcery, which was so much part of the Egyptian culture. The Gemara says that Asoro Kabin Kishuf Yodul Oilam and Tisha Notla Mitzrayim, of the 10 Kabin of Kishuf that went down to the world, Mitzrayim took 9. So the idea of Kishuf, maybe I mentioned it in an earlier shiur, but I saw in the Sefer Mimamakim on Chumash, and I saw a very, very broad a definition of the whole idea of Kishuf, but the Maaseh is, the Gemara says it, that Kishuf is Makrish, the Pamalya Shel Malo, the Kishuf is a fight against the Ribbono Shel Olam. Kishuv says that there is a power in the world in which we can go out of what the Ribbono Shel Olam created in this world. In this world, the Ribbono Shel Olam created a physical earth and was governed by laws of nature, and those laws are the laws which the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. And it's in those laws and within those laws that he wants us to function, but there is a sort of a door which leads out, and if you don't want the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's where you go, and you organize your life with Kishuv. That's another koich, other koichos which are subjective, not objective, like the laws of nature, and which people who know how to do it can manipulate, and that is the shitter of an anti-God. That is what Mitzrayim was. It took the 9 kabin of the Kishuv. That's why the Chatumim was so important in the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim episode. So the emphasis is that you see that the destruction of Mitzrayim. What was the Maaseh over here? The Maaseh was that the time had come. The time had come for the Yidden to go out of Mitzrayim. When we were learning last week in Vo'era, it struck me, it's not such a big chiddush, but the truth is that in Bo'eru and in Bo, whenever Moshe Rabbeinu comes back to Pharaoh after each Makor and he says, no, yeah, so now let's go, each time he mentions again, Shalach es ami v'yavduni. Shalach es ami v'yavduni. It sounds like each time a new nevuah. Like, I don't think that's the way we would have talked. We would have said at the beginning that Moshe Rabbeinu had come to a Pharaoh and he said, look, it's time, Shalach es ami v'yavduni. And then the Makas Dam came and so then Pharaoh refused. Okay, so now Moshe Rabbeinu comes back. He's not going to say again, Shalach es ami v'yavduni. He says, no, you got the Makas just now, you see what happens. Let's go. I mean, why the formal formula of Shalach Esami V'Yavduni? But I think that formula, Shalach Esami V'Yavduni, is very, very, very mashmoistic. It has a terrific mashmos. What does it really mean, Shalach Esami V'Yavduni? Let's start with the V'Yavduni. See, what did Rabbeinu Shem tell Moshe of Avraham Avinu, the Bris Ben Avsorim? Yodaya teda ki ger yezaracho be'eretz lo Elohem ve'avodum ve'inu oisam. There's going to be a tkufa in the history of your children that they're going to serve Mitzrayim. Ve'avodum. That is the chefetz of Golus Mitzrayim, serving Mitzrayim. Why that was necessary, we'll try and talk about it a little bit later. But that's what Rabbeinu Shem told Avraham Avinu. What Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to Pharaoh now is Shalach es ami v'ya'avduni. They're going to serve me. That means the period at which they were, it was determined by me that they should serve you, that period is over now. Shalach es ami v'ya'avduni. The time has come that they should now serve me. I think that really explains also the this funny thing that Moshe Rabbeinu keeps on saying, we want to go into the Midbar Shloshes Yomim, and we want to sacrifice to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we want to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. What's going on over here? Like, why is he saying that? The Emes is, I had a vague memory from many, many, many decades ago where I happened to see in the Tanya a few lines which are very, very interesting, and I'll just read them to you. I looked for them last night and I copied them down. So he has a very, very interesting mahalach in that, why Moshe Rabbeinu just couldn't say, listen, we're leaving. What does he have to come on with all these tricks that we're going to Der Shloshes Yomim? So he says like this, "Bechinas Yitzias Mitzrayim Shneimar Bo Kiborach Ha'am." Later on, in Beshalach, when the Vayugad Levelach Mitzrayim Kiborach Ha'am, that they had fled. So he asked, "Dilchuru Hu Tamua?" That's very, very strange. Lama Hoysokazos? Why did they have to flee Keilu? And I think included in that is this idea of that we're going to go and serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'chi ilu amru lefaro leshalchem chofshi le'olam lo yoyo muchach leshalchem. He could have said, listen, we're leaving. What do they have to go give him excuses for? The Ribbono Shel Olam is taking them out. What does he have to come with such excuses? So the Baratanya's solution is, elem ipnei shohara shebenu afshos Yisroel adayin hoyo betokfer b'chalol ha'simoli ha'sitra achra hitumas Mitzrayim. It's a matter of fleeing to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Kiborachon, they fled from the Tumah of Mitzrayim, which was still somehow within them, and they fled to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it's an Indian of fleeing. They couldn't just walk out because they weren't on a Madrega, that they can just walk out. If there would have been no residue of the Tumah of Mitzrayim, then they could just have walked out. But there was a residue. So then how are you going to get out? By fleeing to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Pharaoh heard Kiborach Ha'am. As I stated that, and that's been in my mind many, 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 many years, way back. This was in Gateshead, I think, still that I saw it many years ago. But the emphasis is that while I'm thinking now, and I just checked the Rashi over there, Kai Kiborach Ha'am, it's shaykh also to learn differently. That Kiborach Ha'am, the Rashi says it's the Pharaoh over there. That what is it, Kiborach Ha'am? Here, I think I have a Rashi here. Yeah, so Rashi says, what's Borach? Vayugad lemelech Mitzrayim, ikturin sholach imoem.
he sent a spy, I guess, with him. Vekiven shehigiyu shloishes yonim shekavu leilech v'lo shuv, v'lo she'ein on chayzrin l'mitzrayim, bo'u v'gidu lefaroi b'yom ha'raviyu. Hey! When I sent them out, when I told them to leave, that was only in order to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, 3 days travel into the Midbar. He saw that wasn't working out, so he saw that they were borach. That's the pshuta shel mikra of ki borach ha'am. But the question is, Taka, like, why did it have to be Derech Brichter? Like, why did they have to tell him that story?
If I think that the reason is, or what's really implied over here is, that's really all that was needed. The emes is, if he would have sent them and they would have gone Derech Shloishes Yomim and brought Korbanos, they would have been free of Mitzrayim. That they would have been nichnas now into the Shalachas Ami v'Ya'avduni. That's the emes. The emes is that in the Ya'avduni, that's all that's implied. We want to go serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. Whether we serve the Ribbono Shel Olam 3 days away or 10 days away, or we go to Eretz Yisrael, it has no nafkamina whatsoever. The tachlis is that we're not anymore under that gzeira of v'avodum v'inu oisam. Mitzrayim was given this koyach of v'avodum, that they will be meshabed you. Shalachas ami v'ya'avdu ni. Your period in history is over. The emphasis that's also implied, it's very, very interesting, in the Shalachas Ami V'Yavduni. It's in the P.L. It's not Shalach, Shalach L'cho Anashem. It doesn't say Shalach L'cho Anashem, it says Shalach L'cho Anashem. That's the Kal, send. Shalach, in the P.L., is intensified. Drive them out. And a few times during the whole drama over here with Moshe Rabbeinu's confrontation with Paroi, it was always, you are going to send them. You yourself are going to send them. And the emes is, that is exactly what happened. That when Makas Bechoras Taka came, so then what happened? If I can find it over here. He's throwing them out. Shalachasami. Not pshat, let them go out. Throw them out. What's the idea of throwing them out? I think that the pshat of the throwing them out is like this. If you remember the shir, which I said on Miketz, I think it was Miketz, where we talked about the agolos, that why was there such a hakpoda that the agolos should be Egyptian agolos? Remember that Vatot Tzuveh, he says to Yosef Paro, take from the Agolos of Mitzrayim. Why was it so necessary that it should be the Agolos of Mitzrayim? The Teretz is that the Gzeir of the Ribbono Shel Olam had to be Niskayim, and Mitzrayim goes out to meet them. It's bringing them back already. The Golos Mitzrayim extends itself already into Eretz Yisrael and says, now is your time to go into Golos. I'm going to pick you up, and you're going to come to the tentacles, Ki'ilu, of Mitzrayim, were stretched out to bring them into Golos. And I think that the opposite of that is that in Mitzrayim, they're being driven out of the Golos. It's the same Yisoid, that the whole Golos over here, the whole of being in Mitzrayim, was not the Pshat, that's how it happened, and this and this and this and this. Like, the word is that there was a Gzeira over here from the Ribbono Shel Olam, that Mitzrayim is going to be Meshavet Yisrael. That's a Gzeira, and that's what's going to happen. So if they're sitting in Eretz Canaan, doesn't help them. The tentacles of Mitzrayim will stretch out and schlep them into Mitzrayim. That's the Agolas. They're sitting in Mitzrayim and they avodim. It's not going to help them. From within Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim itself will drive them out, because the end of that tekufa is here. No more of avodim, but v'ivdu es Hashem. Shalach es ami v'yavduni. Mayrodek. And that's why it was repeated each time. It wasn't just Moshe Rabbeinu reminding Pharaoh, hey, you remember we had a discussion about letting the Jews go? Come on, let's do that now. You don't want to be subjected to so many makas. That wasn't the word. There's a nevuah from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Shalach es ami v'yavduni. Drive out these avodim. You have no koyach over them anymore. Not only that, you have to drive them into freedom from your shibud, because now the gzeira is shalach esami v'ya'avduni. And that is why Mitzrayim was smashed ki'ilu, because Mitzrayim, the anti-god of that tekufa, that had to be smashed, and that's why these terrible things happened. What's this idea of the Bechorim? Yeah, the Makas Bechorim is right away in Shemois already. What does it say over there? So I'm going to be makir your b'chayrecha. Like right away at the beginning, like the whole vote is it's going to come to makas b'chayres. That's a zelum hazeh, b'ni b'chayre Yisrael, and I'm going to kill your b'chayrem. What's implied in killing the b'chayrem? Why was the makas b'chayres? Why was that the peak of the makas? And the pshat is poshet. It's not so poshut, but when you think about it, that's really what it is. Because what is Bechaya? I think we must have mentioned that in earlier shiurim. Everybody knows this, that, you know, Bechaya, the three letters of Bechaya, they're the twos. The base is 2, and the ches, chof is 20, and the resh is 200. So Bechaya is number 2. Bechaya, the firstborn son, is the child that lends hamshocha to the father. Till now he was a number 1. When I was born you became a number 1st. You're first with the second. I'm the second. That's what Bechaya is. When the Rebbein Hashem kills the Bechayim of Mitzrayim, what he's saying is there's not going to be any Hemshach to Mitzrayim. They're Mufka from the Indian of Hemshach. They're finished, and that is what it is. That's the this idea of that Mitzrayim is not a coincidence, but this is the fight against Ra, and that Tekufa was against Mitzrayim, the anti-god, the Kshofim person. And of course that expresses itself also in the Bizas Mitzrayim, and that's really what I wanted to come to, because I wanted to understand, like, it doesn't say anywhere. The truth is, if you learn the Chumash and you see the Psukim, I don't see where it says anywhere, like, why? What's that shibud of Mitzrayim supposed to do? I mean, we can think of things, and that's, you know, this idea that they were able to be there without Shinas Shemamsha, Shinas Babusha, terrific Nisyonas, and that hardened the Yid and gave him the koyach not to submit to assimilation. I mean, there are plenty of things that happened in Mitzrayim for us. And then everybody knows the Ramban at the beginning of, at the end of Boy, about all the Yisoides of Emunah that came out of that. I'm not asking what in fact were the benefits of this. But it doesn't really say, the emesis, it doesn't say, or it looks as though it doesn't say, like, what the whole story was about. These benefits that came from us, maybe they were just side benefits that happened to come along, and they were good things in terms of our history, in terms of our education. What's the teichen of this golos? So the word is that you see that right from the beginning through the end, there's this inordinate stress on the Bizas Mitzrayim. Right away, the Bris Ben Absalom, you couldn't wait 2 seconds. Yodaya Teida Giger Yezarecho Be'eretz Lo'ilohem Va'avodem Ve'ine Oysam Abba Me'az Shona V'achereichein Yetzu'u Be'ruchosh Godol. Ma pitom, what's the greatest sach that they go out with this Ruchosh Godol? Why is that so important? And here already in Parshas Shemos, by the snare, when the Ribbono Shel Olam first apprises Moshe Rabbeinu of his destiny, that he's going to be the goyel of Yisrael. Ushlachti as Yodi, v'hikesi as Mitzrayim, b'chol niflosai asher eseh b'kibbo, v'acharechein yishalach eschem, not yishlach eschem, yishalach eschem, he's going to drive you out. V'nosati eschein ha'om hazeh b'einei Mitzrayim, v'hoyo kiselchon loiselchon reikom. ושואלו אישו משכנתו ומגור אספסו כלי כסף וכלי זור וסמולוס ושמתם על בניכם ועל בנוסיכם וניצלתם את מצרים. We're going to see in a moment in the Gemara this וניצלתם, what it means. So what's the big deal? Why is that such an important part? So let's say, you know, there's this Gemara that later on, hundreds of years later, the Mitzrayim came and said, come on, you took all our silver and gold, give it back to us. So then they tied it, look, we worked for so and so many years, so you never paid us any salary, so that was our salary. Is that what we're talking about? So is that, is by Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's all they have to worry about, what's going to happen to our salary? That just doesn't make sense. You see that the Bizas Mitzrayim seems to be a very, very important yesod. And the fact is, we all know later on, Dafke in Bai, Dabe no Bozne Ha'am. So what does Rashi say? I think Rashi says, no, Loshen Bakosha. What am I going to tell Avram? Yeah, what's going on with this Rechush Godel? Since when are Yidden so interested in a Rechush Godel? And not the Mitzriim, I would get sick. Kekesev or Kleizor, what from a Mitzri? Ooh, like, who needs that stuff? And so what's going on over here? And the emphasis is, if we look in the Gemara over there in Psochim, Daf Kuf Yutes Omer Aleph. So what does it say over there? We've mentioned this Gemara before, I think. Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Shmuel Chof Kuf Yutes Omer Aleph. Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Shmuel Kol Kesa Vezorav Shebeolam Yosef Liktoi Vehivio LeMitzrayim. Shneema vayilaket Yosef eskol hakesef hanimtza ein li elo shebeeretz Mitzrayim ushebeeretz Kanaan b'shaar rotzos minayin tel madloimer v'chol ha'oretz bo Mitzrayimer. Okay, so the entire wealth of the world was sitting in Mitzrayim. U'kishu'olu Yisrael mi'Mitzrayim he'eluhu imohen. Shneema vayinaslu et Mitzrayim. Rav Asi Omer, what does it mean vayinaslu? Osuo ki metzudo zu she'ein bo dogan. A metzudo is a trap for birds. So what do? They spread corn over this trap, and the birds come down to eat it, and then they're caught in the trap. But when all the dogan is gone, it's useless. So that's vayinatzlu. Vayinatzlu is, it's ke'ilu. They made it like a metzudo without any dogan. It's not going to attract anything. Nobody's going to be interested in going there. No bird. Rav Shimon Omer ki metzulo she'ein bo dogim. Like a canal where there's supposed to be fish, and by nothing, no fish, nothing left, finished, ice, the garnished, nothing was left of that wealth. Why are we so interested that nothing should be left? What's going on over here? That's the same yesod. That's the same yesod. Just like the Bechayrim got killed, that means no more Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim's his moment in history is finished, gone. It's not anymore Avodum, but it's Avoduni. Shalachas Amiv Avoduni. You yourself, by your actions, are going to be Maida, that your Tkufa is over. And the same thing is, the Bisas Mitzrayim, which we'll see in a moment, is symbolically a very, 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 very potent symbol. It's going to be taken away from you. Vayenatzlu. Not a single grain of corn, not a single little fish. Nothing should be nothing, should be nothing, should be nothing. Why? Because why did you think you got that enormous wealth? You got it because you're such tzaddikim. You got it because to confront Bnei Yisrael in the role in which you confronted Bnei Yisrael, meaning as the representatives of the Ribbono Shelolam, Kneged, the anti-god of that period. So you needed to have all this koyach. And Mimela, the minute your historical moment is over, so that koyach disappears, and so Eish Yontif, that's it. Not one penny remains. Why do I say that this Biza was so important? Because the Gemara over here, Psochem, the Gemara traces, where did that Biza go to? So I think we learned it once before, but it's a long time. So here it is. The Yidden had it till Rechavam, the son of Shlomo HaMelech. Bo Shishak Melech Mitzrayim unetoloi me Rechavam. So then Shishak came and from Mitzrayim, Dafka, and reconquered it. So it was in Mitzrayim again. Bo Zorach Melech Kush unetoloi me Shishak. Bo also came back to the Yidden unetoloi me Zerach Melech Kush. Veshiko Hadrimon ben Tavrimon, bo bnei Amon, und tolle me Hadrimon ben Tavrimon, bo Yoshofat, not bnei Amon, bo Yomunach ad Ochos, bo Sancherev, und tolle me Ochos, bo Chizkiyo, und tolle me Sancherev, bo Yomunach ad Tzidkiyohu, bo Kastem, und tolle me Tzidkiyohu, bo Pasim, ונטלו מקסטם בו יבונם ונטלו מפסים בו רימים ונטלו מדי יבונם ועדיין מונח ברימי. That's it. So what's going on over here? So there must be prote in each one of these madregas of what happened with the Bizas Mitzrayim. But what you see, especially from the last four, that at that time it was by Tzidkiyahu, the last melech of Yehuda, and then the Churban came. So when Nebuchadnezzar came, he took the Bizas Mitzrayim to Bovel. And when he was conquered by the Parsiim, the Persians, so they took it to Persia. When they were conquered by the Yevonim took it. And when they were conquered by the Roimim, so Novadayin who Roimim, it's sitting in the Vatican, who knows where it's sitting. But what you see over here is that what is Persia and Modai and Yovan and Roimi got to do with the Bizas Mitzrayim? Weißt euch, that the Bizas Mitzrayim, the idea of the Bizas Mitzrayim was symbolic of world power. It was symbolic of world power. That is what it was. And that was vested in Mitzrayim. And that is what Mitzrayim lost because of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We'll come back to that in a moment. But I know that in Shiurim, which I gave in the past, so I learned pshat like that, that what was Avroam's taina? Avodim ve'inu oisam kiyam bohem, and achrechen yetzi b'chushkoda loy kiyam bohem. So I asked at the time, every year I asked the kashya, what's so big about this Bizas Mitzrayim? Who needs this stuff? So why is Avroam so concerned about it? So at the time I thought that the word is that are they going to occupy a position in the world or not? Without the Bizas Mitzrayim, could be that Yiddishkeit is a meure de gesagt, but it's a way of life, of living separate from the world, no shaykhus to power in the world, no shaykhus to anything in the world. We sit in our bottom edge and we learn v'nama amen. And Avraham said, you promised something different. You promised that they would get the Bizas Mitzrayim, and that is that they would be a powerful koyach in the world itself, obviously not in the way in which it can be done wrong, but in the way in which it can be done correctly, and v'yistav to zayin. That was the issue. Now, within the framework of what I'm thinking now, at this present moment, I think that that's really the answer to my interlocutor, the one who asked me, like, why was Mitzrayim smashed so utterly? Why was it necessary to smash? Why was it necessary to take every last penny from them? Why was it necessary to kill the Bechairas? Why was it necessary? Why was all this necessary? The pshat is that that's the word. I'm afraid we, Nebuch, we didn't live up to our responsibilities. That's really what's happening. What the Ribbono Shlom wanted by Yetzias Mitzrayim, apparently, and what the promise was of the Chush Godel, that would be the moment when the world would turn into what the Ribbono Shlom had wanted it to turn. Namely, that Klal Yisrael would be the center of the world with a power which is vested in the Bizas Mitzrayim, and the world would look the way it's supposed to look. That was the tachlis. And so the Ribbono Shlom gave us the Bizas Mitzrayim. That means there's a changing of the guard. Control of the physical world had been vested in the anti-god. Control of the physical world had been vested in Mitzrayim. The whole story of Golus Mitzrayim and Geulas Mitzrayim was to be mechanech the Yidden that they're not going to be that way. They had to live in Mitzrayim, and they had every opportunity to assimilate into Mitzrayim and to learn all the things that Mitzrayim did. And the emphasis is that they did shake her a little bit. We've talked about the Perekhof in Yecheskel, about Avodah Zarah in Mitzrayim. But we know the Yesod of Lashinah Shemam, Lashinah Malbushim, Lashinah Lashinam. That wasn't just like outside things. They kept the identity. They understood who they are, and that they can keep their yachas to the Ribbono Shel Olam. What happened? So that is, I think, why they had to go to Mitzrayim. They had to go to Mitzrayim to get the Bizas Mitzrayim. What do I mean to get the Bizas Mitzrayim? They had to go to Eretz Mitzrayim to be in a position to take that world power that had been vested in Mitzrayim and to change it, the changing of the God of history, that where power in the world is transferred from Mitzrayim, who uses it to fight against the Ribbono Shel Olam, and brought to Klal Yisrael, who use it to be Mekadosh Shem Shamayim of the Ribbono Shel Olam. No, what did we do? We made an egel in the Midbar. And it didn't work out the way the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted. We never really made it. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't make it into Eretz Yisrael. Nothing worked really the way it should have worked, at least in the short run. And Nebuch, throughout the Shoftim and throughout the beginning of the Malchus Beis David, the Shlomo HaMelech, we had it. But when Rechavam came, so Bo Shishak Melech Mitzrayim, and he took it away again. So we haven't done very well in history in the long run, in the short run, whatever the right word is over here. Like there were a lot of failures along the way. The Ribbono Shel Olam is choshev achashava is levilti nidach memeno yidach. The Ramban says in over there in Re'eh, we're going to be okay, and in the end Mashiach is going to come, and we're going to end up where we're supposed to come. But it's been a long, long, long rocky road, very, very difficult. And the reason is lies in ourselves. We never rose absolutely to that level which apparently the Ribbono Shel Olam had wanted us to rise to. We didn't make it. That I think the Chazal say that was Moshe Rabbeinu's Saneguri on the Yidden by the Egel. What are they going to do? You gave them so much Kesef Azov. No, and so now they made an Egel. But that is the story over here. In other words, Mitzrayim had to be obliterated. Why did it have to be obliterated? Because that was the obliteration of this world ranged against the Ribbono Shel Olam. And you see, as Mitzrayim was to create a matzav where the world would now be vested with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It was probably the most geulistic moment in the history of the world. We didn't do that well afterwards in whatever things the Torah tells us about. But that is really what's going on in these parshiyos. So now we're working towards the end of Shemayis, and we'll see that Shemayis ends where the Gula is, when the Soid Eloya Alei Oholeyam, and what we have to do is to try and make that a reality again. But I think that to understand the whole story of Golas Mitzrayim and Gulas Mitzrayim in these terms is very, very important for all of us.